We're going to be in Exodus, start with. Now, I got several more things before we actually get started, but you can get your Bible open to Exodus 12. Did anybody get their homework done? Christina got hers done. Would you still like to have some time to work on it? On tracing out past, okay. But Christine's got to be number one. Now you're fighting for number two. All right? That's good. That's really good. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. What I assigned is a lot of work. I know that. But you'll profit greatly from it. Before I get into this, who prayed? Brothers Tim, whoever prayed that things going on in our country. We used to ask for prayer for that, for things going on in our country. Everybody knows that Supreme Court justice died this week. I've heard so much about it, I'm about sick of it. She's been fighting cancer for a long time. She's 87 years old. I mean, the Bible says 70 by reason of strength is 80. Shouldn't be any surprise that she died. Surprise she's still alive up till then. And now they've made a hero out of her. Even Fox News, that's all they talk about is this woman. She's a little Jewish woman, plenty of education, will be a smart woman. Talk about her setting kind of judicial records and all that. Here's what I see. This woman's been on the Supreme Court since 1993. That would be 27 years that she's been a Supreme Court justice. She is the most liberal of all. She has enabled, promoted, and led the liberal element of the Supreme Court. Truth of the matter is, there ought not to be a liberal and a conservative element of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court does not make law. That's by the legislature. The president doesn't make law. He's executive. He carries out law. The Congress, Senate, and House of Representatives, that's where our laws are made. Not 8 or 9 lifetime appointed judges. They're there to interpret the Constitution, not to change the Constitution. Now let me tell you what this woman and all of her ilk says. They say that the Constitution is a living, breathing organism. Now that may sound good to somebody. I say the Constitution is not a living, breathing organ. I can see the Constitution and it don't move. It's a piece of paper. Valuable piece of paper, old piece of paper. But our Constitution is a Constitution of our United States, and it does not change. And they certainly are not there to change it, but they are changing it. In 2013, even before that, I think it was Nebraska, had banned partial birth abortion. That means when the baby's coming out, you can kill it then. That means you can see and touch and hold the baby, you can kill it then. She led the fight and was successful in it to make Nebraska get rid of that ban on partial birth abortion. So now, if a woman's having a baby and that baby's half out of the womb. They got the head and the hands. They can go ahead and suck the brains out of it. Or however they want to kill it. They can do that by law. And all of those abortion things, she has been the key figure in maintaining all of that, to where right now abortion is so widespread. And between that and guys like the governor of Kentucky, we are so head over heels in murdering babies. It's all over the country. Oh, it's all over the world, but I ain't worried about the world like I am the country I'm a part of. And she has been the key factor in that, keeping anybody from even toning it down like our president has tried to do. Not only that, this thing of freak marriages. Do you know she was the first one to marry, I don't know whether it's women or men, to marry two men or two women? She began performing marriages until 2015. Now by law, two men or two women can get married just as easy as a man and a woman in this country. You have to recognize that. I don't. God doesn't. And I think she knows by now that God doesn't. You see, that little chart up there that we've got, it says it all. And though she didn't like it, she was a Jew, she didn't like it. Obviously didn't like it because she didn't go by it. And that's the problem right now. And all the liberals are so up in the air. Oh, President Trump ought not, he can't appoint another one. By law, he can. If we've got senators, unlike at Mitt Romney, and I'm so sorry I voted for him. I can't tell you how sorry I am. I voted for him, but I couldn't vote for a Democrat. He's one of the sorriest guys I've ever known. And then these others, that from Maine and one from Alaska, these women call themselves Republicans, and they're nothing but obstructionists. All of them are. But if we can get over one, maybe one more of them back in here, the vice president can turn that thing around, and we put another justice in there, that the balance of power on the Supreme Court will be not just for conservatives, for people who believe in the Constitution, the originalists, a Constitution originalist, believe that the Constitution ought to be conducted just like it's written. What's wrong with that? Anyway, that's what's going on. So, am I grieving? They said as a nation grieves. I ain't grieving. I mean, people die every minute. Got to die sometime. Something's going to carry you away from here. I don't know what it's going to be, but something's going to. So, am I sorry she's dead? Well, I'm not sorry she's gone, I'll tell you that. Anyway, she wasn't one of my heroes. Not even close. See, actually, I don't believe I would ever shook hands with her. I have a rough time. I don't have a rough time doing that. I just don't do it. And I don't lose any sleep over it. I wouldn't welcome her, anything. She's a criminal. She's ungodly. Look what she's done. Look how many people she's affected. How many babies have died because of her?
Amen.
Anyway, look at Exodus 12. I thought, Ben, y'all had that at homework. We might as well get into it a little bit. Exodus 12, chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Well, that soul means lives. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, but nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the establishment of the Passover. Well, you know, up till this time, what's happened? You remember the Jews went into Egypt a long time before this. The whole sojourn lasted 430 years. About 70 souls, I believe it was actually 70 souls, 70 people went into Egypt. Went down there because of starving to death in Canaan land. And you remember the story about Joseph. Joseph had been elevated to the second in command of Egypt, and he had caused them to save back food, so there was food in Egypt. So his people went down and they lived there. But later on we find out that the Egyptians, now I want you to understand, the Egyptians were Africans. That needs to be noted. Because people can slide by, get by this, lay everything on somebody else, and everybody's guilty. The Egyptian, African Egyptians, now I hear them all the time. I've heard, Jesse Jackson and all talk about how smart the Egyptians were. See, we're smarter than you all. We. Yeah. They claim Egypt as African. They do. They all do. And there's a lot of stuff that they did in Egypt. Yeah, I'm not against the people because they're the tone of their skin. I'm not in favor of their gods. But you know what those African Egyptians did? They took those Jews and they made slaves out of them. Matter of fact, it's even called a few places hard bondage. It wasn't just apprentices. It was hard bondage. Tough enslavement. As a matter of fact, I don't know exactly how long it lasted. I know the Bible says the whole sojourn of Israel in Egypt was 430 years. And I don't know at what period they went into slavery, but it wouldn't have been too long after they got there. Because what had to happen? Joseph had to die. And then the next thing, you raise up a generation that doesn't know all that. And that's what they do. They're probably going to build some pyramids. And they needed help. Didn't want to pay for the help. So they just already got those Jews. We enslaved them and worked them for nothing. So we thought slavery was just over on black people. No. Jews aren't black. Jews are descendants of Shem. I don't know. Basically, the only way I can tell a Jew is by hearing their name. I mean, if it's Goldstein or something like that, I have an idea it might be Jew. Do you? I mean, I don't think there's that much difference in Caucasian people and all that. So it's not a racial thing. It's not. Why do people hate Jews so much? I think it's a spiritual thing myself. Anyway, because God loved them. It chose them as a nation. But anyway, so here they are in Egypt. Now they're slaves. And God raises up a deliverer, Moses. Now, so why do we have this happen here, and this happen here, and this happen here, this for 5 years, this for 10 years, this 20 years? I don't know. God knows. He's filling out all that. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. I don't know why he allowed Manasseh, the wickedest king of Judah, to last 55 years. You'd think he was the worst of all. God, why don't you take him out after 2 weeks? No, he lasted 55 years. God had a purpose. Don't tell me that God didn't have anything to do with it. God had everything to do with it. And he's got a purpose in it. So the same thing with the Jews. So after all this time, God raises up a deliverer. Well, you remember the contest, they call it, with Pharaoh. And Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "No, I don't think so." Anyway, we start that with the plagues. You got 10 plagues that God used to soften up Pharaoh and the Egyptians to let the Israelites leave. Well, Pharaoh, he says, "Well, okay, go, but don't take your women and children. Go, but don't take your herd." See, letting them go just a little bit, don't go all the way. And there's lots of sermons been preached over that, but that's what they're doing. But now the last plague that came on Egypt, well, you had the darkness, thick darkness, but there was oil in the lamps of the Israelites, the tents. They had light. Anyway, then you had the flies, lice, locusts, moraine on the cattle. We've got darkness. We've got hail. What else? Huh? Yeah, blood to water. There's 8 of them. One more I'm missing.
Frogs.
I forgot frogs. Yeah, one more night with them stinking frogs. Remember that song? I'd like to get that song out. That's good. We just want to see one more night with them stinking frogs. There you go. And then the last one is the Passover. So here, we read that. So now we can see there's some real significance there, not only for the Israelites. I mean, these things actually happen, just like the Bible says. I don't care whatever they find archaeologically, if it's right, it will accord with God's word. It won't contradict God's word at all. Like they say, they found Pharaoh's chariot wheels in the bottom of the Red Sea. I don't know whether they have or not, but if they have, I guarantee you they're Pharaoh's chariots. We know what happened to Pharaoh and his chariots. All right, so we're not worried about what they're going to find archaeologically. All right, so, but this last plague, it indicates something wonderful. They have to take this sheep and they have to kill it. And they have to take the blood, put it in a bowl, hyssop branch, it's like a leaf branch, use it like a brush, and they put it over the doorpost and across the lintel, that's the top piece of the door. And they say, well, the death angel had passed. Well, it actually didn't say death angel. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, why they started that with the death angel, I guess they just couldn't face the fact that God said, I will do it. Looks like it was just a compromise to euphemize the word of God. God said, I will pass over you. Who did the killing? Well, we want a God of love. I want the God of the Bible. And I can't manufacture him. He is as he is, and it would behoove us all to accept what the word of God says about it, even if we don't understand it all. And I don't. His ways are past finding out, way higher than our ways and all that. So, then this Passover, look at verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. Now, did that blood from that lamb actually purchase their salvation? And the truth of the matter is, no, it didn't. It's a token. The only thing that could forgive your sins is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that hadn't been shed yet. Matter of fact, this was approximately 1,500 years before he ever comes and offers himself as the only sacrifice for all the sins of all of his people on the cross of Calvary. That's almost 1,500 years later. But this, if they did this in faith, they were saved. Not actually by that blood, but by grace through faith. And their faith was in the promise of the Messiah. So they're actually saved the same way you're saved today, but only these folks had to be saved in the promise of his coming. And that's why faithful Jews were always looking for him, culminating in Anna and Simeon in the book of Luke, the early first that chapter of Luke. Simeon was an old man and wanted to die, but he couldn't because he had to wait unto see the salvation of Israel. And when Jesus Christ was born, he actually held the salvation of Israel in his hands, and he was glad to go on and go home after that. So, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. But now for all of the houses of Egypt, that blood, now I don't know this, but I believe that if an Egyptian did this, they would have been saved. They would have been delivered. But for all of those houses that didn't have the blood, the firstborn of that house died. I don't know what, I believe the movie was correct when Charlton Heston played in the Ten Commandments. He played Moses. Anybody ever see that? Some of these new ones I wouldn't advise you to see. but I think that one was pretty close. If you'll remember, the night of the Passover, what'd you hear all over Egypt? Screaming. Why? Because the firstborn male every house died. I don't know how God did that. They had a fog or something going through. I don't know whether that was the way he did it or not, but God did it. And so there was agony, there was misery all over Egypt. And that's when, now they're going. But this Passover is established right here. Now they did not faithfully observe the Passover every year until Jesus came. They did not do that. And they got judged for that too. Let's look at John 1, John's Gospel, chapter 1, real quick. Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus, that's John the Baptist, coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now that's no more everybody in the world than any other scripture that John uses for world. That's all kinds of people, Jew and Gentile alike. But behold the Lamb of God. The Jews knew about the Lamb of God. So what John does, he reveals who Jesus Christ is. So all of these 1500 years, we've been killing a lamb and spreading his blood over the post of the doors and the lintels, across the lintels. Now we have the Lamb of God in reality, right here with us. Now that ought to have been an indicator of what Jesus is going to face. Well, it was. But Jesus had to keep on teaching. He said, but the Son of Man must suffer, be delivered, crucified, and die. And that's what he's referring to. The Lamb, the Passover Lamb, his life was limited. When he was put up and examined, at the end of that examination, when he passed that examination, that there was without spot, without blemish, he was dead. That's what he was for. Well, Jesus says that's what he came for, was to die, to pay for all the sins of all of his people. And that reaches all the way back to Exodus 12 and beyond, and reaches all the way forward, that he died to pay for all of the sins of all of his people. Now look at 1 Corinthians 5 real quick. In chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians and verse 7, Paul tells the church at Corinth, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now when you're talking about leaven and unleavened, you understand that the Passover was all about that. Unleavened, no leaven, no sin, because leaven is the symbol of sin in the Bible. So I looked up on the internet just to see what they had up there, and there were actually people, instructions for observing the Passover. I don't have any instructions for observing the Passover. I know what the Bible says about it. But I'm not looking to celebrate the Passover, are you? I'm not. People try to say that the Lord's Supper is the replacement for the Passover. It is not. Not at all. The Passover has nothing to do with the Lord's Supper. They're two completely different things. And the Passover was completed 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was offered on the cross of Calvary. He died and he was put in the grave, and 72 hours later he arose. The Passover is done. Amen. Our Passover is already sacrificed for us. Now, after the children of Israel, after this, then they go on to the Red Sea at Pi-hahiroth. You got that? That's where they crossed at. They didn't cross at the Sea of Reeds, they crossed the Red Sea. And the waters became a wall on either side of them. The cloud of the Holy Spirit hovered over them, and they were baptized unto Moses. And they went through dry shod. They didn't have a bit of mud on their shoes. You can't drain a pond and 6 months later walk in the bottom of it. It'll still be mud. It takes it forever to dry out. This is a sea. And instantaneously it parts, and now they start and it's going dry shod. How many miracles can you see there? Bukus of them. But then when Pharaoh and his chariots follow them, they get down in the middle and the wheels bog down in the mud. The Israelites' shoes didn't bog down in mud. They were dry shod. They had to dust the dust off of them. But the Pharaoh's chariots, the wheels bogged down, and then the walls of water came pouring back in, and horse and rider hath he thrown into the sea. They all died. Anyway, I don't think you could find any fossils down there. I don't think they were buried by water, not by dirt and rock. Anyway, so when they get on into the promised land, Moses gets up on Mount Sinai. He gets the Ten Commandments. Made two trips, we know. Maybe more, but we know he made two big trips. Anyway, he came back with the Ten Commandments, but he also came back with more instructions on offerings. And so, what is it, 5 burnt offerings? Some of them were sweet savor offerings, some non-sweet savor offerings. The burnt offering, the meal offering, the trespass, sin, peace offering, yeah. And so had all those offerings. Now, they conducted those offerings on a daily basis, whereas the Passover was on a yearly basis, and that became the first of the month, beginning of months. Verse 2 said, the beginning of months it shall be the first month. So, well, what right do you have to change that? Well, he changed it all, put it all there. It's God's right. Anyway, but they conducted those sacrifices off and on through the years. It's what the priest did and all that. And that was on most of them on a daily basis, sometimes more than daily. But anyway, what did those offerings signify? Well, some aspect of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The Passover is completely the work of the Lord. Those other things were in part the work of the Lord, but it was all in a type. And when they conducted those, they were to look ahead and see the Lord, the Messiah, is coming and will fulfill all of this. Of course, they had the feast and all that. So this offering is on a yearly basis. It was for a memorial. And it was to last until our Passover. Now, people that are trying to celebrate the Passover now, they're committing heresy. Right. That's a gospel heresy. Because to be trying to conduct any of the Old Testament offerings, now they're all real, they were all done, this is all verbally inspired by God, and they were all done for the purpose that God ordained them, but they were done for a time until Jesus Christ comes and fulfills them all. I mean, you've got groups that are saying they do the Feast of Pentecost and do this and do that. No, we're not to assume as we study these things that we're supposed to redo these things. Oh, no, that would be heresy. That would be an outright denial of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried and rose the third day according to Scripture. And so we don't want to be denying the gospel. That's exactly where the Orthodox Jews are. What an unorthodox too, where they are right today. They're the God's chosen nation. God's proven it because He's perpetuated them. Well, they're even more established in their land now since President Trump moved our ambassadors to Jerusalem, recognized Jerusalem as the capital. Everything that he's done for Israel, he has really, really moved on in establishing them there in their land. I don't know what's happening as a result of that, but I do know that's true. They're naming streets after President Trump over there. They love him in Israel. And then making these peace treaties and all that. I don't know what to make of all of it, but I know that's happening. But I don't dislike the Jews. I'm not anti-Semitic. I love the people that God chose, and He chose the nation of Israel. And I just can see God working in them, and it just thrills my soul. And I'm not envious of them at all, but I do know this, that they have the wrong religion. Anything you could say about that justice? She's got the wrong religion. She had the wrong, I don't know whether she was unorthodox or orthodox. Now, the unorthodox Jews, many of them don't even believe in God. They really don't. The orthodox Jews are probably closer to the Pharisees of the New Testament nowadays. But here's their big problem. They're in heresy because they deny that Christ is our Passover, and that He has been sacrificed for us. You can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. If you have not the Son, you have not the Father. If you have the Son, you have the Father. But you can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. The Israelite could not leave Egypt alive without the blood of the Passover. Couldn't do it. Because God's going to pass by them. They are typical of the individual believer today. If you don't have the blood of Christ, you're not saved. So this shall be a token for you to put across the lintel and down the doorpost. There it is, the token. Well, our token is, for by grace are you saved through faith, redeemed by His blood. By faith we are to have the blood of Jesus, our Passover, on our heart and soul. And that's how we're saved. Not because we are anything. Look quickly at John 19. Verse 14. Well, let's reverse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. You see, when Jesus died, we're at the Passover. So from the chronological standpoint, it's right the time. What no way they're going to stop it. All right. And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, which is not downtown Israel or downtown Jerusalem, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh or near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. And I believe he wrote it under the direction of God. And he let it alone under the direction of God, because there Pilate wrote the truth. Pilate wasn't the same man. But Pilate wrote the truth. So the measure of the truth does not amount to the measure of the man that says it. The truth is the measure of the truth. So if somebody says something that is true, I can say I can amen that and not everything else they say. But he spoke truth. If the Pope speaks truth, I can recognize it as being the truth. He doesn't often do it, but if he does, I can recognize it as the truth. All right, so the Passover was to last till the last one. When was the last Passover? Well, it turns out the last Passover is the Passover. Amen. The real one. How long did they walk around or march around Jericho? Till the last time. And the last trip was the one they was looking for. That's when the walls fell. And the last Passover is when Jesus Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And you know what? Before God, there has never been another Passover feast accepted by God. The last one was it. So God raised up a deliverer. He delivered Israel, and he established the Passover, and it remained until the last one. And that's where it was. God help us to rejoice in the Word of God. Let's all stand.